Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Monday, everybody, and thanking God for another day of being here. We want to always recognize the blessing in a new day of life. To Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York City, currently with ISOradio.com, you can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. when he's not doing that. He is graced in New York with the best of live R&B events all over the best of venues. To my team, Lady Diamond, Eleni Eves, DJ Domret, Rodney Williams, Deacon's Eddie Williams from Toledo, Ohio, and Monster Miles, all of you are a great team to have, and I appreciate you much. To my starting panelists, Taylor Jenkins, Altarique Atkins, Professor Carlton Jones, Erica Talbert, Darlene and Arlene, and Patrick Irvine. You guys are the best in keeping this community topics going. I want to welcome our newcomer, Kim, as well from Chicago. She's been awesome with her input. And to all the rest of you out there in my social media group, which is tonight's sponsor, Mr. Mark Pittman, and his two groups, the Real World Black News and Discussions Group. Black History Press Group, the Real World, the Black Love and Conversations Group with Linda Miller. But On the Edge Listeners Lounge with Katie Barnett, Urban Intellectuals Open Discussions Group with Patrick Irvine and Marvin Young of the Capitalist End Group, and Professor Carlton Jones at the What About Us Group. I want to thank all of you very much for your constant and constant support. Tonight we are going to be speaking about getting back to basics, bringing back the values in the African-American community so that we can tackle these ongoing, continuous, and very devastating problems all over the place. And we have to get back to our internal basics so that we can tackle what's needed on a grander scale. So tonight, I'm going to go out with Heather Headley, and I wish I wasn't. When I get back after her and a word from our sponsors, we'll get the party started, so don't go away.
Go back.
Charter sauce.
Yeah.
Can I have a charter sauce?
No.
No! Let's go!
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Bonnet and friends. Those of you that were in on the delayed start and the mix-up, thank you for waiting in. And for those of you just joining us, thank you for coming back through the delay. All right. We have been touching on some very deep and intense topics this past week, and I want to thank all of you for the input that you have given me, both on the social media chat walls, as well as here on in the studio, as well as out in the face-to-face. It's been phenomenal what I've been hearing and what you guys believe and think. Well, today we're going to go back to it. Whether you guys believe that this is something we have spoken about before, whether or not, you know, you feel that it's the same old, we are going to keep on speaking until we get solutions, until somebody hears us. Today we're going to be speaking, but how do we get the values and love and respect between the black men and black women in the community to where it was, or at least close to it? What is our problem, and how does social media affect it or not? Does it contribute to making it worse, or could it be better? Could social media be used in a way where it can help us to flourish back to where it is we need to be? Or is it helping the destructive culture? So, let's get started. We spoke often about how our people once were strong. We once established things about ourselves. We had some economics in place. Our churches were in place to help the community flourish. Our political views really were set aside when it came to community-based situation. Our pride for our families, for each other, was intact, was in place. Now, we're dealing with a whole lot less families. We're dealing with more broken homes. We're dealing with a lot more disrespect between in relationships, if there are relationships. Nowadays, it's not a love match, it's a hookup. We have a lot more babies being born to these hookups than we have to actual established relationships. Communication, out the window, because now all we do is pretty much is arguing on each other. So why does this happen? We have plenty of outside factors that we can filter in to peg this on. Media will be the biggest and most destructive culprit of it all, because between them trying to emasculate a black man, effeminize a black man, make a black woman feel she doesn't need her other half, and become either masculinated herself or pretty much lonely and bitter. Our children don't have the village anymore to guide them in the right direction, so they're pretty much dealing with the confusion and hormonal disarray of teenhood while trying to deal with that and figure out how they're supposed to fit in, as well as resolve issues that we're supposed to be there to help them through. And Lord knows that's become a hot mess. So what's the bottom line here? What is it that we have lost? How do we get it better? What role does social media play in either the further destruction of or the possible options of outlets to restart? That is the question on the table tonight, all right? Panelists are quiet right now, so here's what I believe. Media definitely is a problem. We spoke on what it is now that our culture now believes is our only form of success, where they showcase all the negative untruths about us or half-truths about us, and then they overshadow and put to the back burner all the things that we really are, all of the resilient entrepreneurs that we are, all of the corporate people that we are, all of the family-valued people that we are. We used to communicate with each other. We used to make sure that males took care of males. We passed the buck. We took care of each other's children. We speak often about how back in the old days, there was not a person in the neighborhood that was an adult that didn't have a hand in making sure you were kept in line. You were protected. You were looked out for. Plenty more nosy neighbors in place that their nosiness at some point came into play for the benefit of the greater good. Nowadays, you have people that have the nosy but not the benefits. Nowadays, you have people that are cursing you out if they're doing what the village is supposed to do. You have younger parents that are just as lost as their children are. You have older people trying to be younger people. You have this program notion into our community now that a woman is something that you have to fear, be skeptical of, do a background check on, because her saying I love you means something wrong. The word love means something wrong. We women are taught to use and discard our men to make sure that we stand on the corner and make sure that every struggle that they have is noted publicly and ridiculed him because of it. Never mind the fact that us as the black queens that we're supposed to be uplifting and exalting our kings as we're supposed to be, because our kings are facing not just a bad economy. They're facing a world that hates them, hates the very essence of them. They're facing a world where everything that's being put into legislation now is being customized to eliminate them. They don't have any friends out in the real world. They have only us. And we don't know what to do with it because society has taught us that every guy is out to grab every girl in twos and threes, that they're only supposed to stand up there with their pants hanging down and give up, and that you're supposed to be the person that they put down in the process. Society is teaching our men, you ain't nothing by yourself, but you know what, if you come over to our side and grab our carrots, and after you get there, make it big for us, jump through hoops, do whatever, come date one of our women to be on your arm when the success happens, because those loudmouth girls that you came from, they're not good enough to be in this country club we're bringing you in, but you'll never make it inside with some real membership. So after that, let's watch other cultures get together and assemble and fight for their own while they put you on the other side of it and make you be the emulated example of all of their bad stuff. And then add the black factor into it. They're making you that bad thing look twice as bad because now that bad thing is on another bad thing, which is the black man or the black woman. Never mind the fact that we knew better. But we're being twisted in between two realities, the one that they're projecting to us and the one that we know and came from. Never mind that. So what is it that we need to do now? Let's talk about where social media takes the play. Social media infects. I didn't say affects, ladies and gentlemen. I said infects. Insects are intelligent because we once were grammar correct people that now don't know how to write a straight sentence anymore. Insects are values because you know what? Everything on social media is showing people displaying their flesh to get attention, causing fights that should be private and handled differently. Now it's becoming a worldwide fight. People you don't even know are joining in to give their 2 cents on it. It's infecting the value of a unified state, a sacred union of marriage, because there's both sides that's on there inboxing people now to cheat on the down low. It's enhancing the wrong type of growth and advancement in our children because our children are allowed to have social media accounts at the age of 9 without any real proper education and protective culture around it from the parents, because the parents are busy in the other room doing their own thing. It's infecting our right to know how to filter out what's necessary to be worth our time in talking about and spreading community knowledge or otherwise, because all we're being hit with is some new caption from World Star Hip Hop, or we're busy wasting our time once again in that conversational cyclic cycle of satirical articles that once again puts us out as the butt of the joke. We're busy making noise in the wrong area against each other while the community around us is busy starting pages about the very sensitive thing that happens to us in a very degrading way. Do I need to give an example about how Trayvon Martin has so many degrading pages that was allowed on certain social media places where they called him Trey Boone and they had him depicted as a shot monkey on a lynch rope, and we sat right there on the noose and we watched them and said nothing while they were busy trying to censor what we were saying for our side. And guess what? When that happened, I saw so many posts between men and women of our culture fighting each other instead of fighting the world. We lost communication. We lost values. We gave in to hopelessness when once before there was something that was something we never allowed ourselves to do. Slaves marched and got beaten and desecrated and ripped up and wedged. Still believed in the power of faith and the power of their wives and their families. Didn't fault them for being property of the slave masters that yanked their wives away. Didn't fault them for being used in sex and other things because there was nothing they could do, but what they could do at the end of it all was to be there for their wives if they were blessed enough to be reunited with them. And we forgot the fact that after all that happened, they threw us out into a world with a little degree that said, we are free now, we're free men and free women. But they gave us nothing to deal with the pain of all those wounds they opened up. Not even a Band-Aid, ladies and gentlemen. So why is it that we, the two matriarch and patriarch heads of our community, can't get it together to respect each other and see past our own initial and retarded instant gratification plaques? There's no way, black men, that a black woman is going to be able to be successful or feel good or be able to look at you with respect when the one person she's trying to please is telling us she's every rotten thing in the world, and that's you. On the other hand, black ladies, there's no way your men are going to be respectable to you or feel good about themselves or be in the role that they're supposed to be if all you're doing is telling them what a no-good bastard they are, what a broke jerk they are. If all you want to do is hit that and run, there's no way your children are going to understand what it means to cherish themselves, to grow up and spread the legacy of pride anymore if all we're doing is showing them that either you need to be an abused woman or an abusive woman, or you need to be an abused man or an abusive man. Got a panelist coming in. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, Katie. This is Al Tariq Atkins calling from Dothan, Alabama.
Hey there, Tech9. How you doing? So, talk to me. Let me ask you this. Where do you think the breakdown for the black man and the black woman, the values, the respect for each other, the love, the unity, where do you think that has gone, and what part do you think social media plays in either furthering the destruction or sort of mellowing it out or possibly giving us an open shot at trying something new? Do you think any of those things are in effect?
Well, I believe that it can be things on social media, but a lot of our problem existed before a lot of us started even getting on social media. So it can be social media as well, because there's a lot of ways that you can get on there and dodge, and it's like how the industry is in Hollywood and stuff like that, even at times, because it's about also entertainment. And since people are entertained, you have people that get on there and they'll talk certain things about life that's what they're not really doing, and all types of stuff goes on there. You can be free to be who you want to be on there. So in a way, that can even have been a thing to where. So it's something like what Professor says, and what's that exactly that he says? I forgot, but it was perfect things for what he says all the time. But I know it's something to the degree to where he said they never sleep. And that is so true, because if they never sleep, then that means that they're always plotting things to do things and to cause, to set up cause and effects of different plots and plans that they have laid down. So all of this stuff was made up for a reason. Social media and all that was made up for a reason. whose reason is it really going to serve when it comes down to it? You know, so it has things that we benefit from. But usually when big-time things are made up like this, who's the people that really benefit from it? The few. The few is who benefit, and not the masses.
I'm sorry about that.
So when it comes down to it, unless we make it something beneficial, kind of like what they say happened over there when Egypt was going on, they said that social media helped them. But the way I see things coming down the pike with black people, I feel that it can be retooled and different things can happen, just like how they say the revolution won't be televised. So if it's not televised, then it's not going to be socialized. They're not going to allow for it to go, but so far be socialized on social media. It's just a feel. The plot thickens is with every step that we're taking. So if we're trying to correct things, it's always outside forces that's working against us, and even outside forces that help the ones of us who's not all that right with us and ourselves to further widen the gap between us. You know, it's a lot of different social media going on where it's different things they said are set in motion to cause disruption with us as a people even. You know, so it's just a bunch of things. So I believe it could be that. That's causing the risk, but then it's us at the same time because we're not, I'm not going to say we're not all together, but for the most part, at the end of the day, enough of us are not coming together and organizing. And I was taught at a young age through lessons I had learned that organization is as important as truth. So if you don't have organization and you have the truth and you have the solution of what needs to be done, but you're not moving in an organized way, then that truth is like it's just an illusion to you. So we need to come together and start truly making steps and organizing. Because if we're not doing nothing, like how they say, if nothing happens, nothing happens. So I just believe our biggest problem, though, is the self-love. And a lot of times I've said, just like I remember something that Malcolm said, and I've always felt this way, even if I never heard him say it from seeing the condition of my people, is that we've lost touch with what love is supposed to be. Everybody has their idea of love, but when you look outside of us, other people are showing what is the idea of love to them is, because love keeps people together. Love for yourself, even it'll keep you together, and if you love yourself enough, rather it's collectively or individually, you'll love yourself enough to leave other people alone. That can be individually or collectively. We partake in too much things that's not good for us as a people, I'm saying. And when we're doing those things, that doesn't help you to elevate, that degrades you. It takes you backwards. And I feel as though we've been so accustomed to following the ways of those who never meant us any good anyway, and we've been so blinded to that and so willing to follow the ways of those who helped to even put us there, that we've adopted their ways and it's working the way they wanted to against us. And a lot of times I believe a lot of us don't see, and a lot of us do see, but we're scared also at the same time. We're scared to rock the boat. And if you're scared to rock the boat, then what can you do? You're going to stay on that ship and just go for the ride. And a lot of us are doing that, rather if we have money or whatever, because people talk about basketball, oh, let's spend money on a Donald Sterling basketball team. We should be taking that money and helping other poor people, working people that's out of jobs and stuff, to build up jobs for the community and stuff like that. What's going on? That shows you just the backward mentality and really lack of love that we have for one another. Because anyone else, when they come here dirt poor, not people who had shots at basketball and football. I've seen a town where I grew up in, I've seen other nationalities come in there, and they're doing better than people who I grew up with and been there for ever since before I had even moved to that town. And these other nationalities is coming in and sucking from us. And we're not producing anything. We're consuming, consuming, consuming. Just being a consumer, life is about balance. So consumption is a form of greed. If you look at us, we're too busy being consumers. Because if you're steady consuming something, you don't have the time to put back out what you always taken from. Or what's always being taken from you as far as economically in our community. So until we learn how to truly love ourselves like true loving people do, people who are truly in love, they come together, they're together. They go through all trials and tribulations, and they're coming out on that side together regardless. And that's something that we have to learn until we understand. Because a lot of us say we're spiritual and all that, but we have yet to reflect the first principle that we say that God is, which is love. It says, without love, I have nothing. So I see why collectively we can't get nowhere, because that real love can't be there if you're not showing and proving it. The best way to have love is when you're showing it and when you're giving it. And then we wonder why we don't have the things we have, because that which you love, you go hard for. You'll go through hell and back for that which you truly love. Are we doing that? I say we have to question ourselves. We have to reevaluate ourselves, because I don't think we're taking a deep and serious enough look at ourselves that will make us change and want to do better for ourselves. So that must mean that you must be all right in the position that you're in. And that has to change. We can't stay blind and deaf and dumb. We got to get out of that. We got eyes. We can see Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles. It seems like they had better eyes and they were blind than many of us can see. And that's backwards.
Excuse me, I was kind of adjusting my Teflon drift. I was just making sure I didn't get hit by the left. There is another panelist on. I want to address something that you said, but I want to give them a shot. So hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Corey. I'm here.
Hi, Cody. Tariq, how are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, right.
Hey, Erica, how are you?
Hey,
okay, I know you said you have limited time. I know you got limited time, so I want you to fire your piece off. All right. I want to thank you very much because she has taken on the freelance role of being my research assistant, and this is one of your topics, which is why I wanted you on here. So I'm going to ask you 2 questions. One, what do you think is the breakdown between the black man and the black woman as opposed to what it used to be, and what part do you think social media plays in either furthering to make it a destructive thing or, I guess, mellowing it out and taking it to another direction?
Okay, I'll go with the first question, and then you're going to have to remind me of the second question. Okay, the breakdown that I could see is a lack of communication. We don't communicate our wants and needs to one another. Then we put expectations on each other that we can't meet. We put unrealistic expectations on relationships and what we expect out of one another, as far as not just as far as an intimate relationship, but just the roles in general that we expect one another to play in our lives. So once we start communicating better, and I think that'll bridge the gap between the two, because without communication, sometimes they leave room for unrealistic expectations in life. So
right. So
with that being said, we definitely have to communicate and build trust, because I think for the most part it's completely gone. Because there's, on a daily basis, I hear a female saying how men ain't nothing. So somewhere down the line, if I'm constantly hearing females, when I'm talking to my female friends, saying it's about men, then there's no trust. And then at some point she had expectations of a man, and that man can meet those expectations. But again, it comes from the lack of trust, the lack of communication, the lack of being upfront and honest with one another as far as what we want to build together as a community.
Absolutely. And what do you think social media plays in that?
As far as I'm looking at a relationship aspect, I always say if a man is going to cheat, he's going to cheat. You know, whether if he's a cheat via Facebook, before Facebook came around, he was finding other means to cheat. Before the internet and social media came around, there was other means to cheat. But, you know, I guess it's easy to get to. We degrade one another as far as, you know, the posts with delicious and, you know, her walking in charm behind and the other chicks that are always on Facebook, the guys show pictures of their behinds. And, again, dogging one another out, not uplifting one another, not communicating and giving one another positive feedbacks and sending positive vibes in the air towards one another.
You know what, Erica, that is so awesome. I'm going to tell you to drop my mic. You have, both of you, made some very, very big points. And, Erica, I actually agree with you. Communication, I think as simple as it sounds or when people think of it, it as simple as that is, it's such a big key part of what goes right or wrong with things. Okay, so many times bad communication or no communication made a small situation bigger than it should have been. We definitely have dropped the ball on teaching how to communicate. Our parents before us, when they had arguments, as your children, you rarely knew it. Okay,
yeah.
You rarely knew there was an argument. Now it's all over public display. Where I think social media adds to that is that now we're on further public display. Now people from all over the world will get in a private person's argument that don't know anything, and now you've got three fights going on. And I believe Professor constantly talks about the ways that we fail on using social media for the proper representation or symbolism that we need it for progress. We constantly use it to go chill somewhere. You know, we make it like our one big Saturday night spot. Now, I think that there's less people in the clubs now because everybody's on the Facebook group. You know, and that's a really bad problem. It attributes and festers laziness. It makes you have a false bravado because guess what? You're not as cool as your avatar says you are. You know, there are things you can add on more lies, you can do more things, and you can do more trouble and really feel like no one can come to you to hold you accountable. Communication is horrible because women are too busy calling men, you know, our men, black no goods, or they're too busy calling us black skeezers or whatever the new word is for it now. You know, we're too busy pointing fingers at each other in communication and in the way that we put the blame on what's going on around us on each other when it's not really each other. Our parts, and as you said, Altari, we've got eyes, we've got ears. When it's you and your wife, it's not the world. When it's you and your man, it's not the world. Why on earth can't we say for one second, let's take away all of these things coming at us and let's make an individual choice about this situation in front of us right now? Why the hell do I care what DB, you know, Old 21 or, you know, Kenya will fire that ass, whatever, on Facebook? We'll say about it.
We,
mm-hmm.
I noticed, like, what they say, a hit dog will holler. If you throw a rock, the hit dog will holler. That's how it is on Facebook as far as the drama. I got a Facebook friend, and he gets deleted or reported every other day, and he reports all the gossip around the local area. And, you know, like if a guy inboxed a girl something inappropriate, the girl sent him the pictures or whatever the message was, and he, quote-unquote, put him on blast. And he has over, on a daily basis, when he redo his Facebook page, he has no less than 2,000, 3,000 followers. You know, everybody just loves him because he's promoting trash and garbage and gossip. And it's like, if he was to promote something positive, uplifting, then why nobody like his page? the other day he posted something about some girl checked her boyfriend's phone and he had some naked pictures of another woman. So his girlfriend sent the pictures of the other woman to him, and this girl is all over Facebook, the girl that sent the pictures. It's all over Facebook. At what point as a woman do you say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about her because my issue should be with my significant other, because he had to give her a reason to send these pictures, or she just up and sent him those pictures.
Absolutely.
Secondly, you handle that in your house. Facebook should never know. Facebook, she hacked his account. That's what happened. She even hacked his Facebook page and was saying, y'all women out here, he just wants y'all for sex. He'll never leave me. He might have sex with you tonight, but he always know where home is. Well, obviously, sometimes he don't know where home is if he's leaving home to be with these other women. So sometimes he duped again. But with that being said, Erica Tolbert, should not know that. That's something you address in your house and leave it there. We do not mind putting our business out for the world to see. And that's where we first go wrong. We do not, then the thing of it is, now I'm looking at your man some kind of way like, wow, he's out here having women, you know, fighting over him, and I should know that. And then me as a woman, I could sit back and say, these men aren't any good. You know, they all they want is this and all they want is this. Because at the end of the day, we send those messages out. When it does happen, we don't mind blessing it to the world.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we just have a breakdown of trust and miscommunication. We love the gossip. We love the drama. And we want everyone front and center when we're having a moment to air our dirty laundry. There is no way you should have an audience. You should be ashamed. All this stuff, even on the reality shows, what kind of, they don't have any dignity. They don't care who's in their business. Everybody should not know your business. And that's where the trust come in is.
Yep. Agree, and I agree again. I will tell you that I agree with you about the fact that why are we women good enough to go after another woman? I used to tell my ex all the time, when I call some girl to find out what was said by you, I always tell this chick that you knew your situation before you walked out of here. So unless, you know, she knew the situation and tried to infiltrate anyway, that's a different story. But you know who you are when you walk out of here. There were days that he used to tell, you know, like some of these girls that either he had no kids or he had two kids. And I used to ask him, well, which of the five did you decide you wanted to dismiss when you said you had two children? You know, or which day was it that none of them were worthy of claiming? And I always ask these dumb women, if you're in a club and a man says that he's got children, why the hell isn't your next question, where's the mother and what's the deal? Because clearly, you know, if there's a guy in a club trying to have a hookup, something's up at home. Because the average guy looking for a real wife is not coming to the club or the bar to look for her.
But, you know, we don't respect one another. We just don't. We have no respect for, as women. Women don't respect other women. We have no code. We have men don't. It's just a lack of disrespect. I mean, it's a lack of respect in our community right now. We have no trust, no love. It's horrible. Because, again, you know, women don't ask questions. Since everybody's selfish, it's, I don't care who you got at home. It's about what I can get. It's about me. Me.
Well, I see you there. You know what, Erica? I want to flip that on the men for a minute, too. Okay, I have a little rule about couples and their single friends, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think for one minute, and I want to make sure everybody that's keying into the speaker a little closer, I don't have a problem with married people still being friends with their single friends. You know what I mean? I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
that. But when you are a single man and you know your man got a family, if you're hanging on him and trying to convince him to come out and do certain things, quite often, quite frequently, knowing that there's the rules of the game sort of changes when that person takes on another person into their life. If you decide that you want to go X, Y, and Z direction, then that's where you should be on your own with like-minded people, okay? Now, guys do the same thing. Now, women are chatty about certain things. We root in on each other in a minute. Guys will pat their buddies on the back while they're busy trying to destroy their lives. And I've seen that happen quite often. A guy will act cool with a female while he's busy trying to figure out how he's going to take her away, okay, and then do what he's got to do and keep it moving. Not all men, like I said, people on the show, if the shoes don't fit you, don't step into it. But when the hell do we start to say family first, pride first, community first? What is the difference between the fact that our ancestors who went through direct daily, hourly, minute-to-minute threats, death threats, injury, still found a way to uplift their families, uplift themselves? What's the difference? With or without social media, I'm quite sure that if the slaves back in the day wanted to cheat on their wives, they would have found a way to do it through the bale of hay and the bale of cotton. They had to pick. They'd leave a message somewhere. We got that part. But what is the difference between the values that they had within themselves going through direct everything? I mean, being hauled down, being free chopped off, being spit at, having their kids smacked in front of them by a total stranger and not able to do anything. How did we still find back in those days a way to stay together and share the pain and help each other and lick each other's wounds, if you want to call it that, and feel better for each other? And meanwhile, here, the day and age of so-called opportunity, of freedom, of liberation, how did we get to the point of saying, I don't give a shit?
Hello.
Here's a caller is coming in. Let me bring him in. Hang on. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How you doing, Katie? This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
All right.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you the two topic questions. What do you think is the biggest problem with the communication and respect between the black man and the black woman, and how does social media play a part in it?
I think the biggest problem is the respect issue that Erica pointed out. I think that's a huge, huge, huge issue that nobody really likes to talk about. Nobody really likes to really dig into the meat of the situation, should I say. Everybody likes to talk about relationships, but everybody likes to talk about relationships on the level of how to make things work with your man, how to make things work with your woman, et cetera, and third. And while those are all very positive topics, it doesn't really speak to your feelings towards, as a woman, your feelings towards men in general that are going to have a major impact on your relationships with men, or as a man, your feelings about women in general and the respect level that you have for people of the opposite gender. Those are discussions that are culture-based that we really don't have. So I think even in that, when we start talking about communication, understanding that we communicate differently, when we start talking about respect, we even understanding that respect means, yes, it means different things to different people, but on the other sense, it also means basically valuing you as a human being. And that's not, you know, that's not there. So I think very simply, I would agree with Erica in terms of respect being a major issue between black men and black women in America.
Absolutely. I also think that the self-love is gone, and without the self-love, we're not capable of loving others, not properly anyway. Back in the days, you know, we had tonight's sponsor's parents, family, all right? His parents have been married and still going for 60 years. And speaking of which, I'm wishing Melvin Pittman a very speedy recovery. He's in the hospital. And, you know, they said he was getting better, so I'm praying that continues. but they spoke a lot of wisdom. They were together through the marches. They sort of just came off the tail end of, you know, the end of all the, not at the end, but at least the watering down of racism straight in your face, being able to people to act out on it legally against you and nothing happens to them. They spoke about it. When I asked them, what is it that, what's the secret to them staying married so long? Let me tell you, Melvin Pittman had absolutely no problem, no pride issues, nothing, saying, oh, no, she's the mouthpiece. I just stay in the background. I'll be fine. I'll go handle the kids. She met with the girls. I got the boys. That's me. That is something that we definitely lack nowadays. Between the super macho dude trying to overcome the feminization and emasculation, and between the super feminist women, we're independent. We don't need you for nothing except to wet our whistle when we need it, have some babies, and keep it moving. Okay? That is not something that love constitutes. That is not something that builds any type of strength or foundation. The structure in that already has holes and flaws. But if you can't love yourself first, you can't possibly be able to take the responsibility on of loving you and another person. And Lord knows if you bring more children into that, there's more defects going on. So I ask again, what do you think it is that back then when people were being spit on and rolled over and killed and blown up and enslaved and everything else possible, how is it that they managed to keep their pride intact? How is it they managed to stay persistent? How is it they managed to value their raped wives, to value their separate wives, and still when it was all over and they came together, they still could look at this woman and she could look at her man as if they were the best thing that God could send to her. Meanwhile,
that's because we are,
go ahead, honey.
Oh, that's because we loved ourselves more so then. We had pride. I heard a girl say today, someone pulled up and they were playing loud rap music, and it was some white people around, and it was a young black girl. She was like, oh, my gosh, I just can't stand rap music. I don't see how anyone could just sit there and listen to me. So when I went into training, the head HR guy wanted us to write down our favorite movie book musician. And he talked about not hearing what she said, how he fell in love with rap music. He said because only the piece said it's changed, but rap music can only tell the story of how black people live. There's no other music on this planet that tells the music of how a community lives the way that black, you know, rap told the music. I mean, told the story of how black people, how we live, basically. And if that's the case, look at what the music is saying about how we live today. All we do is, as I keep saying, is have sex, take drugs, get drunk, make money. There's no message because there's no love. There's a lack of accountability, responsibility, a lack of trust, a lack of respect. So with that being said, back then, all those things were there. Of course, there were men cheating. Of course, there were disrespectful women. That's been here since the beginning of time. But with that being said, we still loved one another. As a whole, as a community, we had love for the black community. We were proud to be black.
Absolutely, Erica. Go ahead, Patrick.
I think we're victims of our own freedom, if you will. Whenever you oppress any group of people, those group of people tend to come together and they rely on each other for support. You know, it's almost like squeezing a spring. The tighter you squeeze, or the more pressure you put on the spring, the more the spring compresses into each itself and begins to rely on itself to resist. And so I think in the black community back in the days, with all of the pressure, and that's where, you know, in this book I'm writing, that's where we begin to talk about how black people managed to get through the brutality of slavery and Jim Crow segregation. It was because we had a community. It was because a black man could go into his home
and feel like a man and be comforted and all of these other things that were required to get him through the day without snapping on somebody or killing himself. He could get all that at home. The same with the black woman. She could come home and, you know, within limitations of the time, still feel like somebody, still be able to be understood, still be able to feel like a woman and all that entails in her home. The moment we were allowed to feel free, the moment we were allowed to join with the dominant white society to feel like we could become a part, that in conjunction with other things, of course, you know, we began to unravel. We lost the sense of community, and we exchanged the sense of black pride for a sense of self-pride. So we no longer care about how other people feel as long as we feel good, you know, and then our feeling
right.
is no longer linked to how you feel. Like, I can feel, like back in the days, I couldn't feel good knowing that my brother's wife was raped by a white man. Like, we had to come together as a community, not just to help that family get through it, but to help everybody in the community get through it. You know, we read stories about they're having these boxes and these men groups where the men would come together and they would watch a man whose wife had just been submitted to something. They would watch him. They would keep him locked away somewhere, and the other men in the community would watch him to make sure he didn't do anything that would get himself killed or to make sure he didn't kill himself. And so when you start talking about doing those types of activities, the same with the women. Women having to occasionally comfort and console each other, having to occasionally be there for each other to protect a sister from not feeling like a woman because of something that had happened to her, or not feeling like she was of value to her man because of something that had happened to her. The community had to come together to survive those types of experiences. Nowadays, because the culture has shifted and because the illusion of freedom is so prevalent, it's not necessary for me to care about you anymore. You know, like, it's all about me. I'm not trying to help you get yours. I'm not trying to block. Like, so the culture has shifted from that of community to that of individualism. And individualistic cultures never bode well for relationships, our companionship, or any of those other things.
Yeah, absolutely right. There's actually two things that I wanted to touch on with what you said. Let me ask you, you ever heard that, like, when your parents, you're growing up and your parents used to tell you, don't give that kid so many things at one time?
Mm-hmm.
And they try to explain to you that children need to learn, like, in pieces, because if you give them too much, it overwhelms them.
Mm-hmm.
I think with what you just mentioned, I noticed that a lot. I see you there, Corbin. I'll bring you in a minute. I see that with us. I think that, like, even back in high school, when I used to hear our kids my age, which used to upset me even back at a young age that way, when I used to hear my classmates say, I'm not going to do that because look what they did with our ancestors. We're just going to be slaves till we die. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to make this money. So I said, so you're going to desecrate the representation of what our ancestors fought through. They woke up daily, if they woke up at all, to have somebody's whip on their ass, somebody who acts at their foot, somebody's cattle branding iron to put a property in their skin, to put nooses around their neck, either to walk them like animals or hang them from a tree to death, to fight for what you now have the opportunity to do so you could single out and say, you're going to spit in their face with it and be a bum anyway because you're never going to get the extra $10 an hour that the next person will get. I used to hate that. You can't draw on it. That's the same as these modern-day rap artists who came from the black hood and used the black hood struggle as their stage glitch, their little stage thing, okay, where they'll continue to talk about their rags-to-riches story on the very same neighborhood that they got out of and neglected when they got there. So we got too much freedom and we don't know what to do with it. We lost loving ourselves because we've got too much freedom. That's as bad as what that stupid lady said on social media about, matter of fact, divorce court, where she said, I want to divorce him because he's too good to me. What the hell is wrong with us? I mean, I listened to that entire case, waiting for her to say he degraded her one time, he cheated on her and she caught him, he took the money and ran. This man has given up mostly everything that he was having for the family, including her daughter, which is not his blood daughter. Because he believes in marriage. He believes in values. He came from a long-term parents' marriage, and he wanted to do the same in life. Why is it that we have gotten to the point of saying that anything good for us is worth being skeptical about? We speak about this in terms of black entrepreneurship coming to our own to try to pitch the idea. Someone mentioned earlier about you, Al-Tariq, mentioned that some of these people are not coming from privileged backgrounds or privileged environments or Ivy League schooling or even English, for that matter. But they come here and make fortunes over us, the consumers. Because we have, that to me is reverse greed. You know how some people are greedy and they'll do whatever they can to get it? We're just too greedy to have something to show other people that we're wearing and have nothing to show for it. So we're trying to be mongers in the wrong aspect. At least they'll come here. They'll live in huts overcrowded with a hoopty car in a one-bedroom apartment that got mice and rats and roaches all over the place. Take your money with overcharged products that you consistently buy while you're grumbling and then send the money back to their land and build houses over there. So who are you fearing? Say that again.
I was just saying, we have a bad case of
big. Here we go with the Sky Troll community. All right, I'm sorry, guys. Are we all here?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right, let me bring in our panelists. Hang on one second. Welcome to the show, caller.
Thank you for having me.
Nope. Hold on a minute. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hey, this is George. I'd just like to say that, you know, maybe you should get smart and get a better job because, you know, you monkey brains are just stupid.
Oh, dear God. Did your mommy not give you enough iPods to play with or you didn't have enough people to go out and drive on a car somewhere?
No, it's just because in the intelligent white men, they're always better than you. That's all I have to say.
Well, let me tell you what I will let you know that if I gave a list as to why that is so untrue, you wouldn't have enough books in your Ivy League college to hold all of my leaflets. So do me a favor, go and have fun someplace else, since apparently you think
that's not true.
Why are you here?
You're monkeys.
Really, but you're sitting around the monkey cage, so obviously we're enticing you somewhere.
Yeah, because you're funny to look at.
Okay, we're funny to look at. You're not looking at us. You're listening right now. Did you miss that in school?
No, you're just dumb. You know, you're stupid.
And you're stupid smart. For hanging around somebody who you think is stupid. So see ya. Bye. Oh, Lord, I think I was wrong. Sorry. Holiday crinkers. Oh, Jesus, Lord. Look at this. And they're calling like in doubles and stuff. This is ridiculous.
It is what it is.
You know, whatever.
Don't waste your energy on it.
I still don't intend to. You know, they talk so much about us, but they hide out behind stuff. They watch us in the playground so they could see what they could come out with. They really wish they had our swag, but they don't. So what they have to do is come up with mobs, with hooded sheets, with fire and knock people down, kill their mothers for their insurance policy, do all the things that they do, and then turn around and say, oops, you know what? You're the dumb ones. You're the savages. So let's move along. Wait, hold on a second. Tariq, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was deleting too many people. Sorry about that. Hold on. 1 second. Okay. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? It's Professor Carl Jones chiming in.
Hi.
I was just in town for the romper room, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know how that goes. Hang on a minute. Let me bring this other person in, and then you'll have the mic first, Professor. Welcome
sure.
to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Catherine.
Oh, hi. How are you? Okay. All right. I think we're all in. Let me see. Okay. All right, your take.
All right, give me a quick rundown. I just got back home from the gym, and so just give me a quick rundown of the show's topic. I think I heard something about black relationships.
Yeah, what do you think was the breakdown in where, from where we were to where we are now, and what do you think social media plays in it?
Well, black relationships from where we were, you know, we were a family unit that had to stick together, and it was by necessity. It was for survival purpose. It was the purpose of survival. So, you know, we weren't allowed to mingle or commingle within the dominant white society, and they made it clear that they would stone, lynch, and murder anybody for even contemplating that type of engagement. So the black family itself maintained its strength by necessity. Now, you know, our communities were forced to be a community because we were not, like I said, not allowed to be a part of this, which was, I think, a great thing, because you know, that's when our family values, that's when our structure, our community values, pretty much were at an all-time high in this country. And I'm talking about Civil War up until the Civil Rights Movement for desegregation. Around that time, we had issues and we had situations where so many different things interacted led to destroy the fabric of our houses, of our households. You had the media, well, not necessarily the media, but you had the government coming to our communities and pretty much reward black women for getting black men out of their homes. You had the influx of drugs, and you know, it was just so many different things that tear apart the fabric of our community. Now, one of the things that I think social media plays in terms of the relationships now is, I think it's too much access to people, to a group of people who have always been, for some strength, for some reason or another, a childlike people in this country. We've had our adulthood, our manhood, and our womanhood stripped from us for a lot of different reasons, but in essence, we just things like in a childlike manner. Unfortunately, the majority of the black community. For instance, when we were talking about Mark Pittman earlier, and I hope the brother, you said his father was sick or Mark was sick?
Oh, I'm sorry?
You said Mark was sick or his father was sick?
Mark's father.
Okay, so we wish him the best, a speedy recovery. I saw Mark post something recently about how frustrated he was getting with how people aren't responding to him putting legitimate information on the internet. And a response he got was similar to a response that I had gotten 4 years ago, which was a sister had responded by saying that basically when they get on the internet, they do so to basically let their hair down and not necessarily take anything seriously. And I think that's the problem. We treat the internet like it's a plaything, like it's a toy thing. And you know, I see more things on the internet in response to side chicks. This whole side chick phenomenon, where it's okay to be somebody that's a homewrecker. That I see that whole phenomenon taking place, and I think that's definitely one aspect where social media plays a big part, because through Facebook, through Instagram, you can now message people, and it's not necessarily something that's going to be saved in your phone. So there are different ways around being sneaky, different ways around cheating, and I think it puts too much temptation in a situation that's already unstable. So it
right.
opens up the door for things to happen or things to occur where, as before, those avenues didn't exist. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to say 9 times out of 10, but if a person is frustrated and you catch them in a moment of weakness, then you might have a chance of doing some disruptive stuff to them. But those opportunities for disruption weren't always available as social media is, because it's a 24-hour cycle. And so it's hitting you all times of the hour, and it's always something that's prevalent and available. So in that aspect, I don't see social media helping black relationships at all. I think it's one of the main detriments now, and it's also a tool used by our white supremacy to, you know, to cause further distraction and further disruption within our household.
Absolutely. I agree with everything that you just said, and I definitely agree that social media for us in the socialization aspect is a poison pill. I will say that. Let me bring in our other two panelists. I think one dropped and came back. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello.
Yes, hi. What would you like to say on tonight's topic?
What's the topic? Again, I had to go for a second. I was talking to somebody.
Oh, Lord. Okay. We're speaking on what do you think is the reason that black relationships are not working, and what does social media play in it?
Well, I know that, like, sometimes social media, you know, I'm not black, but I know that social media does not cover black people in the best light sometimes, you know. As far as, like, the mainstream, as far as public opinion knows, there is no racism anymore. There is no discrimination, which that is not true. I see it all the time, you know. Like, whenever I was in school, how I could walk around and nobody really cared what I was doing, but a black person or a group of black people or a group of Latinos were walking around, they would stop them. And they would, you know, get them for skipping or whatever. And, you know, you could see a lot of racism that happens that way. And the thing is with a lot of couples now, well, with especially in the black community, I think that not all black men, by the way, but there's some black men out there who I don't think were taught to respect women. And then I think that carries on another generation of, you know, a woman raising a child by herself, and there's not a man there, and there's not a man to teach that little boy how to respect women, you know?
Right.
And you know, it's hard out there for, like, single black mothers, you know, like, because, you know, sometimes they get played, you know, within their culture, like, you know, with a lot of music, like rap music. You know, it talks about, like, disrespecting women, you know, banging them, never calling back, you know, and stuff like that, and just sleeping around and then portraying black women as sluts and whores and stuff like that, you know. It doesn't really send out a good message. So any message about black people, in my opinion, like, is perceived to be negative, especially black women, you know. And I think the problem is, like I said, when men are not taught, you know, to how to respect women, just, you know, have sex with them and then, you know, leave, that carries on another generation of being irresponsible.
That's some valid points, but I will say one thing about music. There's a whole lot of rock music lyrics that do the same. And
yeah.
I think media on a whole definitely doesn't help anybody's situation when all they're out is to make their image sell and make their money. And really, the media don't give a damn about what they're destroying with all the things that they're putting out there, especially with censorship now being lax as it once was. So I do appreciate.
And I think that, you know, like, and I just want to say something else, like, with, you know, like, I'm sorry for that guy's ignorance, you know, that I was listening to a couple of minutes ago, that white guy who was saying stupid things. Not all of us think like that. And I think that, you know, I think us white people need to acknowledge that there is still racism and there is still discrimination, you know, against black people. It's not like black people, just because there's end of segregation, that they're good now, because there's still racist and narrow-minded people like that who say a bunch of offensive things. And, you know, it's an insult to us whites who are trying to kind of mend fences with black people. You know, I don't have a problem with any race. I really don't. And that's what I think. What?
I think good for you. Very good for you. You know, and I'm saying that in a sincere way, just in case you didn't get that. I think that's a very good thing to say. You know how you can make a difference? Make sure that you stay that way in the face of the public, in the face of the people around you, because that seems to be where a lot of the racism doesn't go away, because the people who can say something, who can blend in, who are accepted, don't stand up when the time comes. They're too afraid of what's going to happen in their backyard. How many people are going to say bad things to them? They can speak about it. They can be upset about it. They can be outraged about it, but it will be in some quiet email to somebody that they feel they can talk to and it won't go away. That's not where the change needs to happen.
Yeah. Like, I think our people kind of need to stop, you know, stereotyping black people and saying that all black people do this or all black people do that, and, you know, and like a lot of the stereotypes that black people get, unfortunately, are bad, you know, like all black men, all black boys drop out of school and all black girls end up pregnant and all, you know, black men are hoodlums,
like,
and, you know, what?
That's what the media likes to put out there. They don't like to talk about what's behind the closed doors. That's what the media puts out there. So you know what? Those that don't know, that's all they're going to see. And really, that's on us, because we don't fight about it. But that's the deal. That's all that's being showcased, because it's controversy. Controversy sells. The sexual aspect, that's what sells.
Yeah.
The killing aspect, that's what sells. The racism, the oppression, that's what sells. Nobody wants to know that everything's going good.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like I said, with, you know, the social media, is they don't put a whole lot of stuff that's positive about the black community. Like, you know, if there was a, you know, like any straight A students in the community, like, you know, who were gonna get, like, because you hear news about like a lot of people in science classes who come up with something that makes a difference, you know, in high school, and, you know, they get a lot of coverage for that. But, like, I don't see a lot of black students or, you know, get that same, you know, positive press in the mainstream, like, you know, radios and TV. You know, it's like they're not shining that way in a positive light, and that's why I think that's the public opinion is kind of impacted by that, and they only know what they see, which is, you know, like on TV they see a lot of black hoodlums and a lot of, you know, girls who scream and yell at the top of their lungs and think that because they're louder they're going to get their point across more. And, you know, there's a lot of blacks on TV that make asses of themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of whites that do that too. But it's kind of more, with as little of social media as the black community has, I mean, it kind of brings more of an insult when you see people like that on TV, like Love and Hip Hop, you know, where you see them get in fights like every 5 seconds. There's nothing out there that... What?
I'm sorry. Can I just jump in here for a second? Because, and the policy is very very sincere in some of, in what she's saying. What I would do is I would direct you, call it, to, if you haven't already, look into the history of the media, look into the purpose of the media, and then and see how the media has been used to propagate this type of racial hatred against black people for centuries in this country, and the purposes for it. Because this isn't an accident that the only things that get broadcast are the ratchet behavior that's promoted by the same media moguls, that when you have rappers and singers like T.I. who go to the record companies and say, I want to promote positive music, they say, well, we're not going to pay you to do that because we need you out there talking about drugs, guns, and sex. And, you know, when you have all these different things, all these different monikers with the social, with reality TV, and how those things are being portrayed in the black community, and when you have all of these different innuendos that are directed towards the black community, it's not just the media. Because if you go to YouTube or you go to these newspapers and you go to their websites and you see the responses in those in the responses or the replies to the articles, those aren't people in the media. Those are people from your community that are spewing such racial hatred using terms like TDN or TDNS. And I'm pretty sure you know what TDNS means.
I really don't.
Okay. Well, ask somebody that you're comfortable with TDNS mean or TNS means, okay? And the problem, and the thing is, I see that moniker all the time. I see those phrases all the time. And here's the thing. When, just like Katie said, if you really want to do something about racism, then the conversation needs to be had in your backyard. Because what racists and white supremacists do, they hide behind people like you. And so often, not saying you, but people who speak like you, often allow cover for racists and white supremacists to hide and deflect off of issues when it comes to being parts of real change. So,
yeah.
And then recognizing that, that's where I feel as though your input can be best utilized. Because talking to us is cool, and I applaud you for being one of those people who wants to extend the olive branch, reach across the street. Now, I'm not sure how you would feel if we started, if we were having a conversation about reparations and so forth, but at least you're willing to have a conversation. Me, myself,
yeah.
I'm not ready to have a conversation because I feel as though there are issues within the black community that we as members of the black community need to deal with, and I feel as though there are issues within the white community that whites need to deal with and address before we have that conversation again.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just like, well, I just want to say that, like, you know, I know what discrimination feels like. I may not be black, but I know what it's like because, like, I grew up in a mainstream school with learning disabilities. I was put in different classes, which, you know, also had a lot of black people because, like I said, if you didn't fit a certain bill, you were put in this class. You know, if you weren't a straight-A student, you weren't white, you weren't a jock, you were put in, like, a second-class status class. You know, you were put in those classrooms where you didn't get good as teachers. And like I said, with my learning disabilities, you know, I have problems writing and stuff. And I go in and apply for a job. I go into a store and I fill out the application because my handwriting is messed up. You know, they'll be like, I'll call you BS. And then, you know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we'll call you, you know, when we look at it and everything and we decide. Yeah, by the time I fill it out, my application is probably in the trash. And I get that feeling all the time. And, you know, how people assume that since I was, you know, a special ed student that people needed to talk to me slower and clarify what they mean, like, you know, superior, that means good, or, you know, or I don't know, dietary supplement, that means something you can, you know, it's like, if I didn't ask you what it meant, chances are I know what it means. So I think unless there's people in my community that know what it's like to be discriminated against, they will never understand. They will never acknowledge that there's racism. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but and just understand this. Yes, you do know what discrimination feels like. That's really apples and oranges when it compares to being to dealing and being the target of racism, white supremacy. So I understand you understand what discrimination feels like, but it's different when a whole system is built and designed to keep its foot on your throat just because of your complexion, just because of your heritage. And I don't want to say that you haven't gone through anything. I truly believe you have. But I don't think there's any experience on the planet that compares to what has happened to the African born in America or the African transported to America that is going through, as we have gone through traditionally in this country, through chattel slavery and Jim Crow racism and all the different terms. I can go over the list and over the laws verbatim that were designed to keep black community at bay. So I respect what you're saying, but I totally disagree with the fact that anybody can compare their experience to us. Not even the Jewish community can compare their experience to us, with all respect.
I don't, I disagree with that because, like I said, well, the thing with me is I'm not going to say I've had the hardest life ever, but I've had teachers humiliate me in front of the entire class, and, like, teachers bullied me and made students laugh at me, like, and then they see my writing, or they see me stutter, or see me read something wrong, and, you know, I would always get in trouble. And one year I was put on the sidewalk to redo my homework because a teacher did not like how I wrote. Then she thought putting me on the sidewalk would help improve my handwriting, would make me write better. And then she would humiliate me when I had messy handwriting in front of the entire class and, you know, say, like, how messy it was, how, you know, when I couldn't tell the difference between a certain number, she would make me get up in front of the entire class and go look at the different numbers and tell me how I'm supposed to tell the difference. I mean, teachers were hard on me. And that's what I'm saying, like, I mean, I'll never know what it's like to be black, but the thing is I think it is just as hard because learning disabilities like dyslexia, dysgraphia, and ADHD, those are not as talked about. And some people think that they don't exist, and it's not as in the social media. And a lot of people who have had the same things I've had, they've talked about experiences where they have been humiliated by teachers.
But what about when you have the same experience that you're talking about and you're black?
Yes,
that's a double whammy there, right?
That's absolutely true, sweetheart. Let me tell you something. I do want to say, he said, what about if you have that experience you just described and you're black? That is where it always becomes a difference. Now, do let me say this. What you just described is outrageous, period. I don't care what class you come from. I really don't care what race you are. That's disgusting, especially coming from a teacher. But do understand something, okay? As hard as it is for you, if you made enough noise, if you went out there and you talked to enough people, be some sort of group, some sort of advocacy, some sort of organization that would not only come to your aid, but will help you get over what's going on with you if you made enough noise. They would. They would protect you. They would bring you in back into the fold and help you get better. That doesn't happen for the black community. It doesn't. And every day if you walk out the door before they find out that you have a disability, you're not ridiculed. But you know what does happen? When a black person walks out, they can be the most upstanding citizen in the world. Listen, take a look at the media where there was a politician that got ostracized because he was black. There was a judge, a lady, that just got smacked in the face by a white man. Just so happened he only got in trouble because she was a judge. Just because. There was another lady on the plane with her 13-month-old child who was crying from the altitude, bothering his ears. And the white man turned around, backhanded her son in the plane in front of her and told her to shut her nigger baby up. And do you know what happened to him? He got excused for his behavior. They said he was drunk and grieving. There was a mother that left her baby in the car. Now, don't get me wrong, stupid decision. She left her baby in the car for about 30 minutes to go get a job interview that she was afraid to miss for the betterment of her family. She got her kids taken away, and she got put in jail. Now, there was another young girl, white, chose to do drugs on a daily basis, took her baby, put him on top of her car while she was opening the car door, left the baby in an infancy on top of the hood of her car. Okay? No, the top of her car, not even the hood, where she could at least see him. Drove 12 miles down into a busy highway. The baby dropped in the middle of the highway. Okay? She got probation.
I guess I understand y'all's point now.
No, what I'm saying is we're not taking away from your horrid experience. That is a horrible thing. But somewhere down the line, because of who you are, sweetheart, somebody is going to protect you. Somebody's going to make it better for you. You're going to have some sort of way that somebody's going to say, this was an outrage impeded upon you, and guess what? We're going to make sure you get justice. There is no justice for us. But if more people stood up like you and said what they had to say, and not just here under anonymity, but in front of the people who would say that, that you walk with and talk with every day, and you stood your ground, you made a hell of a difference. And you should be applauded for that. You made a hell of a difference. If you can say what you're saying, and you can even use or allude to your own experience and what it feels like, and imagine that 10 times over on a daily, minute-to-minute, second-to-second basis. And I'm not kidding. We go through that daily.
Yeah, I believe you. I mean, because like I said, you know, I've seen it where sales clerks, and I know this is a, you know, common example, but cliche example, but I've seen it where sales clerks have followed y'all around the store, you know, or the security, or, you know, how the police always, you know, the police racial profile, and they stop a man just because he's black, you know, and they have no grounds, like, to do it. And that's kind of messed up that they
institutional racism goes so much further than that, so much deeper than that. And that's the part where people don't understand, you know, and just like Katie said, if you actually were to apply your cause and apply your cause to, and made enough noise, there would be some supports for you. There would be some resources. Whereas in the black community, those resources have been stripped. And even when we went about, even when members of our community went and built separate communities within this country, angry white mobs went and tore those communities down. You had a phenomenon known as sundown towns all over the country where they systemically through redlining processes, through racial hatred, through murder, through lynchings, through terrorism, urban terrorism in this country, they have driven blacks out of many, many townships and communities in this country. And it was just on the basis of them being black. And when you really dig deep into it, you'll understand. This is racism, white supremacy, and let me explain it to you. 95% of all resources in this country are owned by whites. In a country that had natives who lived here first, in a country whose natives make up less than 1% of the population now, to understand the density of racism, white supremacy, it's not about a person and how a person feels. That's discrimination. But racism, white supremacy is deeper because it's an institution. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, but it's there. You know, There's systems, there are meetings that take place in rooms to determine how many blacks will be allowed to be inside of an organization, how many blacks will be allowed ownership. There, you know, place their rules in terms of what money goes where, how the water is divided and provided and cleaned and taken care of, and how the each community is provided by the politician. I mean, you know, politically, who's going to get a loan from a bank? Who's going to be allowed low-interest loans to where they won't become debt slaves? All these things, and I'm just talking about the tip of the iceberg here. And see, being as though you still as discriminated against as you may have been, you still have white privilege because of racism and white supremacy. Understand, wherever there is white privilege, there's black depravity. So because you have privilege in those areas, somebody's losing privilege in those areas. And when people are losing privilege in those areas, it is due to it's done by force. It is done with aggression. It is done with hatred in mind. It is done with putting and stumping down people to a point where they're rendered helpless to defend themselves and their community. So you wonder why there's so many black people who are walking around portraying thugs. Well, the only time black people have been allowed in this country to show some type of masculinity or show some type of power is when we exert it on ourselves. Because if a black person, and I've often said this, I live in North Philadelphia, which used to be 95% black. Now it's about 80% black, okay? But if a white girl, a little white girl walked down the block or walked down my block, she'd be the safest person in the neighborhood. You know why? Because everybody black knows that if anything happens to that girl, the whole community will face military occupation by the police. Doors would get kicked in. People would be dragged out by their heads. People would get shot and killed just because something happened to that girl. That is institutional racism. That is the fear that's put into the community. And that's why you see blacks acting out amongst themselves and each other, because there's the only time we can act tough is with each other without a consequence. The only time we can exude masculinity or femininity and with force of power is when we're dealing it amongst ourselves. So this is the result. When you see people out there on the streets sagging, that's them bucking against the system because, damn it, you didn't took everything else from us, and now you're going to tell us how to wear clothes? So, you know, these are the things that you see. So it's a history that needs to be learned. It's a history that needs to be unlearned, and it's a conversation that needs to be taken in place. And like I said, if you're really serious about trying to bridge the gap, the first place you need to do is to go in your own backyard where all these different hateful groups reside. Because that is where racism, white supremacy is bred, and that's where if you don't go into your own backyard to clean it up, then all you're doing is watering or deflecting for the supremacists that are working behind you to exert their white supremacist views and through authority acts and policies.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but, like, with a lot of people, which I'm not proud of, but, like, you know, some white people with my own that I've talked to, like, some are racist, and it's just, the thing is, you know, I try to discourage that, but it's, like, sometimes there's just no point. I mean, I think all we can do as a community, as whites, is teach our kids that that's not okay. But to try to teach someone who has been raised a certain way and has been set in their ways, it's really hard to try to change their mind because they will never get it. Because as far as they know, y'all get treated better. As far as they know, there is no more racism or discrimination because they've never experienced it. You know, and I mean, it's like talking to a brick wall almost. I mean, it's not going to change anything. And the thing is I've tried, but they don't get it. And a lot of white girls don't get it, you know, unfortunately.
But I was going to say, and I'm sorry that I interrupted, darling, that's because you're trying to change the way a person feels and thinks. You can't do that. But what you can do is make sure that if you are in a group of people that decide they want to mess with the little nigger that just walked past, you bow out of that and you voice that it's wrong. and you keep moving. You got to understand that if you plan to be different from the people in your backyard, you're going to expect them, that they're going to give a rap of some sort. You already experienced an abstract version of what it's like to be different, okay? And when people don't like difference or don't try to get to know what's behind the shell, what you get from
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah, because so it wasn't fun, like, being the special ed girl or the girl in special ed, you know, known as that in school. I mean, I got bullied a lot, you know?
I got 5 autistic nieces and nephews that their mother went through hell. She wound up having to take them out of school. And, by the way, she is not an African-American. She is a white woman. And she had to take all of her children out of school to homeschool them. But see, you know, here's where the difference would be there. When she took them out to homeschool, she didn't get a lot of people visiting her home trying to figure out why she did that or trying to find something wrong in her house or trying to send the police there because they're trying to accuse her of kidnapping her own children, because those 5 kids would have been, if they were black children, funding for the school. Never mind the fact that the government would rather shut down an entire city or government rather than allow black people to get some sort of health care. Never mind the fact that there's a whole city in Michigan right now that is sitting without water, the basic need for anything. They can't wash, cook, they can't drink. That never mind that they would rather sit there for $150 a month, okay, and put these people on shutdown for basic human quality of life. That would never happen in your world. Not without a lot of people joining forces to rally, okay? And then if you guys were rallying, there wouldn't be a bunch of armed guards standing on the other side with dogs and hoses ready to shoot you down because you're exercising your right to freedom of speech.
Yeah, that is true. But like I said, it's just since there's so few of us, I mean, and our stories, like, are so humiliating and, like, of, like, how could a person do that to a human being? I'm not trying to cry a victim or whatever, but I'm just saying that, like,
You were a victim. You were a victim of discrimination. You were a victim of hate bashing.
But the thing is why people don't come forward in my community, I think, with, you know, a bunch of special ed kids is because, like, you get laughed at. And, I mean, the stories you would read about, like, what it's like, you know, to be a school and work twice as hard as everybody else and still get low grades and still get humiliated even by teachers and get bullied every single day. I mean, it is humiliating. Like, it would bring you to tears. Like it would bring you to tears to tell all that, you know, has happened in school. I mean, it brings you to tears?
Let me tell you this right quick before we get off of here. What brings me to tears in my community is places like Pennsylvania, places like New York, places like Chicago, where 50 public schools in some of these areas are being shut down at one time. That's what makes me cry. And nobody gives a 2 cents about it. I understand your problem, but you have mass amounts of people who can't even go to school to even have a chance, as you still had a chance. And it was bad, but if you look at where you were at, you got blessed because a lot of people, schools aren't even there anymore. New Orleans, schools cut down.
Isn't
no
that the law that you have to go to school?
Hmm? No, because it's the government cutting them out, so it must not be a law.
Yeah, but they'll turn around and put a penalty on their own mistakes, which is what they do often. As far as your experience, sweetie, it's bad, it's horrible, it's really messed up. As a matter of fact, I'm a person that I wouldn't like to see anybody go through it. But there is one little advantage that you have. You went through it, and you overcome, in a sense, all those fears that you went through, all that humiliation that you went through. You're still living to tell about it and to do something different. There are many of my people that don't live to see it again. There's a lot of my people that don't have the chance to laugh about it or compare the where they've come from what they went through. Their kids dying as early as 9 and 8. There was another story with a little kid coming out of pre-K or daycare. His aunt separated from him by a couple of feet as they were both coming out. And in that short distance, there was a man that came and knocked the kid out with one punch to take his iPod. He was 7 years old. Okay? Seven years old. I think it was five. Let me say that again. 5 years old in a daycare facility after school. Okay? His aunt picked him up. She walked ahead of him a couple of feet thinking he was behind her. And this man, in that quick space, punched him out with one punch, knocked the kid unconscious, stole his iPod, only to find out that that white convict had been a 63-time offender and was still out on the streets for other violent assaults, all of which were done to defend of black victims. And he got out 63 times. 63.
Wow. I guess I see your point about like, I guess with me, I guess I don't have the appearance of learning disabilities, but y'all have, like, the appearance of black, and people see that, and then they automatically start making assumptions, which, you know, like, now
not
I get it.
Not the appearance of black, sweetie, just being black. And there's a new thing that we're guilty of now in society, and it's guilty while black. Walking while black. When we have to teach our children at 2 and 3, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, hold your hands up to the side, keep it open when you go ask a cop to help you find mommy in the mall. You see how that works? We have to teach our preschoolers how to assume the position before they're even old enough to understand how to write a sentence.
Yeah.
And I understand everything that you're going through. It's horrendous, and it's messed up. But as I said, you can take what you're going through, and you can live to do something different. You can be exactly who you are now and take it outside where you're not worried about if you say too much, they're going to put you in a corner somewhere. You've already been through that. You know what it's like for people to not like you because there's something different about you. Okay, what you do is you stand strong through that, and you be strong for something even bigger than that. And that's what you say you're doing? Good. Get out there and do it in your backyard. Because you know something? That's where this is starting. And perhaps if enough of us were able to do that, maybe there would be a little dent in this garbage. But
yeah, you're right.
I appreciate you acknowledging the fact that the media does nothing but showcase parts of us that's not true. Or they go to a park and see somebody standing there being obnoxious for the day, and that's what they do a whole six-month documentary on. I don't agree with the women in my community making a Love and Hip Hop Atlanta type thing go on. I don't agree with that. But maybe you guys should also start looking past what you see on TV and start trying to get to know some local people who's in Atlanta. And see what they really like.
Like I said, I'm not, and I don't think I deserve a medal for it, but I'm not racist by any means. I try to give everybody a fair chance, but, you know, not by skin color because, you know, like I said, I've had experiences where people have made assumptions about me and have called me names, and, you know, it was really hurtful. And I wouldn't want to do that to someone else. I wouldn't want to do that to another human being and, like, promote something that is so hateful as racism and, you know, promote something that's so ignorant. Like, it's – and that's all it is ignorance. Like, you know,
No, that's what we have to keep trying to tell you. Racism is not just ignorance, okay? And racism is a process. It's not just ignorance. It's a system, and it's taught. There are two forms of racism and white supremacy. One is systemic, and one is based on communities and how individuals respond to it. And what you have to understand is the in terms of how a system works. George Zimmerman, Michael Dunn. These were men who presented the face of racism and white supremacy as individuals. Okay. Now there's a man on trial right now for killing Venetia McBride, okay? I mean, Venetia McBride, okay? Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal with all of this. Racism, white supremacy is the fact that you have to actually have a damn trial for shooting an unarmed black teenager in the face or pulling your gun out. Yes, you have to have a trial with the jury before being convicted. Whereas if the shoe was on the other foot, you would need Johnny Cochran to be brought back from the dead to defend anybody in the black community from shooting anybody who was white in order for them to get a fair and decent a trial. You understand what I'm saying? That is,
yeah, I
that
do.
Is
the
systemic,
law.
That is systemic racism, white supremacy. Laws put in place, stop and frisk. All right, if you go back 110 years, 150 years, you'll see the vagrant laws that were on the books then, okay, where you would lock a black person up just for not having a job, or you would just harass and lock black people up on the street for being out past curfew, okay? So now you have stop and frisk with the same laws. All right, you just had a man that was killed a couple days ago in Staten Island for standing and supposedly selling loose cigarettes. So the penalty for his crime is death. You see what I'm saying? It's racism, white supremacy. Because when that happens in the white community, I watched here in Philadelphia, I watched how there was a fight at a basketball game in South Jersey, and the white community who housed that school wanted the whole community shut down. So they protested, they went outside, and guess what? From what I understand, there are no more basketball games being played in that gymnasium this summer.
Wow.
But somebody black gets shot in the face, or somebody black gets shot or get accosted and shot, and then there's no trial. There's all this outcry. The media is, instead of putting the person who pulled the trigger on trial, the person who gets killed, the person who can't defend themselves are the ones that's put on trial. That is the difference between being from your community and being from mine. There's no laws in the books. There are no laws in the history of this country that says that white people are not to be respected. But I can tell you, I can take you to 1857, to the Dred Scott decision, where it says an African, whether it was a slave or a descendant of Africans, have no rights that a white man is bound to respect. Nobody has ever reversed that judgment, that ruling from the 1857 Supreme Court that was issued in 1857. As black Americans born in this country, we're not considered citizens of birthright. We're considered naturalized citizens. Okay? There's a big difference between the two. All right? There's certain rights that are allotted to you as a birthright citizen. Meanwhile, people who come from across the boat, people who come from across the border can become naturalized citizens by taking the test. So in other words, we don't get a status any higher in this country than people who come to this country and have been here for 5 minutes. My people have been here for over 500 years. Some of my people have been here for thousands of years because we were in this country before the Europeans got here.
Professor, there's another panelist coming in, and we don't have much time, so let me bring him in. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Cole. We're on here.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I have a theory as to why I think there's not very many good black men. I'm sure you're familiar with the term hair-hatted hooligans made popular by Tommy Sotomayor.
Yes, that embarrassment. Go ahead.
Do you think he's an embarrassment?
He's an embarrassment for anything that we can afford.
Oh, I would have to disagree. I think 99% of the things he says is basically right on point. And I think if you're looking for the answer to your question, he basically provides it daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so your theory?
So, you know his stance on things, don't you?
What is your background? What is your heritage? What is your racial background?
I am mostly white. I have some black in me, though, actually, believe it or not.
I'm not talking about what gets pumped into you. I'm talking about what are you? Are you white? You're a white woman? Okay. You're calling on here to heckle, so you have to address you as such. No. When you call over here talking about hair-hooded hooligans, and you're bringing Tommy Sotomayor, and you're talking about how he disrespects black women, and then you're coming, you're not a black woman, you have no idea what black women have been through. In fact, as a black woman, as black women should know, you see black women as a primary enemy, and because you know
really
who
say that?
Well, you know who your men prefer. All right, it's a reason why they were bedridden. It's a reason why Master snuck out the house to the plantation every night. All right, so let's just be clear about that. So let's not have not let's not come. We don't come into your community. We don't call Rush Limbaugh. We don't call Alex Jones with all these different things about what go on, how y'all sleep with each other. We don't go through all that. How y'all go out there and y'all go days to days and weeks at a time. We don't talk about all that stuff. You know, so why don't y'all go back to you? Why don't you go back to where people will be more receptive of your message? Because right here, we're really not trying to hear that.
Go back to where?
Go back to your dial. Go back to your AM radio station. Go back to your satellite radio station. To where y'all want to hear that better.
Nice. Cactus, motherfucker.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're done with that, Katie.
Yeah, whatever. She's calling from Canada. And there was a lot of static, so I didn't get to hear after that.
Let me tell you some facts about Canada. Canada and a lot of places carried the Deep South into Canada in terms of the race relations. And there's actually some documentaries actually floating out right now talking about the racial hatred and the sundown towns that were created in Canada. So and the robbing and stealing of black property and land in Canada. So the Canadians are no better when we're talking about white supremacy either.
All right, I have a couple of other panelists coming in. Let me try to get them in before we have to sign off. Welcome to the show. Caller, you on the air?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Cactus in that ass. Cactus. Fuck you, motherfuckers. Eat my dick.
Wow.
Hey, you need to repent to the Church of Hitler immediately.
Hey, why don't we... Well, you know what? You got it.
They're all saying stuff that they think's gonna hurt us. They're sitting around listening. Nobody goes
Well, announce their phone numbers from now on. Their whole number when they call.
They'll just call from a new one. They'll sit there and create some software and come up with another one. None of them are calling from any phone numbers. They're all a bunch of cowards. Hold on a minute. Let me see. Welcome to the show. Call you on the air.
Hello.
Here we go again. All right, Katie. Well, I don't have time for this crap. Listen, Katie, you guys all have a wonderful evening. Be sure everybody to check me out on Thursday. I'm going to talk about my time up in Harlem, and I'm dropping a few videos right now. I'm distinctively talking about these cowards that keep calling from anonymous places. They know better than the Klan, and the Klan had to wear masks and so forth. So we know how they are. They're big cowards. So I'm not even going to waste any time on these clowns. So, Katie, you all have a wonderful evening. Enjoy the show. I'm so enamored with my melanin and so high off my blackness that these clowns could kiss my ass. So with that, I've been farewell. And hopefully I'll talk to y'all soon. Good evening.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Cole. Are you on the air?
Hi, Katie.
Hey, darling. How you doing? Hang on a minute. Let me bring in the other one. Welcome to the show, Cole. Are you on the air?
Hi, Katie.
Hey.
Katie.
All right, girl.
Hi, Katie.
Five
how
minutes.
Are you?
Well, actually, about 8 minutes.
I'm just tired. I'm tired. I just can't. We just came in from work, but I just couldn't help but to tune in. You know, I'd be listening, but this particular one, you know I love this kind of stuff. You know I love this. For the gentleman who told us to suck his little D-I-C-K, well, you know what? I just like to say to you on a personal level, when they create a ruler as small as your penis, where you can measure the size of it to realize that it's really not a D-I-C-K that you have, then come back and call us again when you get a real dick. For the young lady who decided, who wanted to take up half of your time and had malice in her heart all the time, that is, I expect nothing less because that's your breed. Can't help it because that's all you've been taught. And you know what? I forgive both of y'all jackasses. Now, they always want to come in. The devil, the devil, the devil. This is what happens when we join forces as a people of color. Like, they come in to destroy. That's their nature. They don't know how to do anything different. If they did, they wouldn't be on the phone wasting your time like that. They'd be doing what they do, golf, killing their mother, jumping off a big building. You know, like, we don't mess with you guys. Like, that's all. This is the feedback that you're going to get. If you think, like, you caused any damage, you didn't. You only wasted some precious time that we had, you know. And with even with that, y'all only make us stronger. We know our fight, how hard our fight is. So you know what? Continue to call, you bunch of assholes, right, to let us know that we are really pulling your hair. Y'all are so, wow. Y'all are so devastated that a few people of color have finally joined forces to hold a reasonable conversation within their own community, and y'all can't even stand that. How ignorant is that? You talk about ignorance, that's ignorant, young lady. Ignorance to me is hating someone and then causing yourself skin cancer, burning yourself up in a damn machine, right, to get some color on your ass for the same people you hate. That's ignorant.
Hating something when supposedly you have everything, so obviously everything, it means something different. Hating something because it's different. Not being able to go and enjoy whatever it is you do because you always feel the need to conquer or obtain what other people have. Being afraid to succeed with a little competition next door, even though you make yourself competition. All of this is ridiculous. They're sitting on a damn channel on an airwave at this time of night, listening to something that they hate so much, that they're funny to look at, that they're this, they're all of these things. And it goes to show exactly what kind of training they came from. And they have the goddamn nerve to call other people savages.
You know what?
Here that stood forward. I want to thank you for coming forth, and I want to thank you for being different. And I do apologize to you for the idiots that put you through the hell that you've gone through, because nobody deserves to go through that, no matter what.
And still have some compassion for your idiot ass.
You know, I'm speaking to the...
Are you talking about me?
No, sweetheart, we're talking about... No, she's not... It's not her. It's not her. The ones that won got disconnected. To you, I apologize for what you've gone through because of you having differences. And that's ridiculous because teachers are supposed to be there to help the community. Okay?
Yeah.
But she was referring to the people in your backyard that are on the show stalking, because that's what this is. This is cyber stalking.
No. And, like, I was just coming out in here to say that, you know, that I don't agree with what my people do. That's all I was trying to say, is I don't agree with it.
No, that's
I think
what
it's
I said.
Sad.
Thank you for being different. Thank you for standing up. Thank you for whatever it is you've gone through that at least gave you the the forward thinking of you don't want to pass that on to anyone else. If you should ever have children, do your damnedest to teach them different. God created everybody equal, whether some ignorant asses in the world don't believe that. Okay,
yeah.
This is greed and nonsense and ridiculousness and whatever insecurities they're going to be one insecure piece of crap. To sit there and go to invade a community that's not stepping out of their sense to go into yours just to say the things you've heard. They probably have remote control airplanes. They probably have remote starting garage door openers. They've got every electronic there is. They've mastered and conquered every stage stock trading market there is. But that's not enough. They need to come in and go deal with a group of people who's talking among themselves where they were not invited. They need to speak about what they feel in people's looks and appearances. Meanwhile, I can guarantee you that if they stood in front of you saying this mess, you probably have a way to play pin the darts on the donkey because they have bits up the behind. As far as you telling people to suck parts of your anatomy, I agree with Darlene. Find it first. There's so many stupid things going on in this world. And you know what's funny? If any of those bombs that the Homeland Security is so high on alert for lands on this earth and they happen to be in the neighborhood, I can guarantee you that the bomb is not going to give a damn what color they are.
Nope. It didn't.
And boy, will they die in hell because they'll be mixed up with all the debris and human remains of a black person standing next to them.
You know what, Katie? They are so sick with this that before they blow up, they see the bomb coming, and that if they had a choice between, you know, asking God for his forgiveness, they probably so ignorant. Now, this would be ignorant, but I can expect that. Just don't let no black skin get on me. Like, seriously? How far are they willing to take it? I mean, we see how far they're willing to take it, but it's becoming a disease. That's what it is. It's a disease.
Yeah, it is.
What is the disease?
Hi, Alderic, how are you? Yes, it is. It most certainly is. And it's sad.
You know what, Katie? This is Arlene. Hi, panel. We miss
Hi,
you
y'all.
Guys. We miss y'all, yeah. I used to get really upset about stuff like that, but I'm learning now that for me to get upset is a waste of my energy and or everything that sustains me. So I'm not even angry anymore. It's funny to me. You know, I'm not even offended anymore. I just think that we are so on the right track and they are so afraid of what could happen from us being on the right track that they have to try to do something to try to intervene because that's what they've always done. And, you know, as long as we've been divided, it's never been a problem. When we kill each other, you don't hear them getting on there talking anything other than how ignorant, how savage we are, how this and that we are. And my favorite saying is when you want to keep the focus on yourself, off yourself, I mean, you always put it on someone else. So that way you don't have to really deal with you. And I think, you know, they've been so consumed with their way of life and their way of thinking that, you know, anything that's outside of their world is a negative. But you wear our clothes, you lock your hair, you tan your skin, you're singing our songs, doing our moves. For a nationality to be so hated, and for you to work so hard to be this like us, that's a compliment to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to embrace it instead of looking at it as a negative. Of course, yeah, I sometimes I look at them. They got a lot of freaking nerve. We just can't have nothing. But you know what? I take it back to me. And if there's somebody that I really didn't want to be like, I would do the total opposite of what
Thank
they
you.
Do.
Thank you very much. If
so
I believe
for
that
me,
you could get HIV from the airborne or walking in the same vicinity, and I knew somebody had HIV, and based on my belief, I would believe I could get infected, I'm not walking in that direction. I'm
exactly.
not in a corner in the vicinity watching that person's actions. I'm not going to sit there and even try to call. If I was that full of hate and that full of fear and that full of insecurity about something I don't understand, I'm going to move like hell in the opposite direction. I'm going to bar my windows. I'm going to put barriers up, and I'm not going to want to know a goddamn thing about what's going on with them. So for them to be sitting here trying to emulate us with their version, trying to bring their people out to get a piece of the good old pie, for them to try, as you said, put their health at risk, trying to get Botox implants in their ass, transfer fat from their lips, to do whatever, so that they could look a little bit like the very monkeys they say we look like. Then clearly there's some issues going on over there, and maybe if the money was gone and the guns were gone, you wouldn't be as big as you thought.
Okay.
You can't fight one man without a group of people. I really want to bring that up.
Well, you know what's even more sad, Katie? You know what's even more sad? Because they're not even acknowledging that that's what they're doing. That's
why
even more sad. You know what I'm saying? Because if they really acknowledged what they're doing, they would see that they are emulating us. You know what I mean? So that's why I said I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing. I'm saying they will not acknowledge.
Why should they? We don't argue about it, and they're putting profit.
No.
They're profiting off of it. They're capitalizing. That's all they understand is money. They're capitalizing on it. They don't care if they put their own wife out there to dangle in the wind and look stupid. They'll never look as stupid as we do when they put us out there.
No.
And you know what? When push comes to shove, all their advocacy and protection is going to bring them back in the fold. They'll ridicule them on the way in, but they'll make sure that they're protected.
But the thing that really makes me proud to be woman is that we have something that they don't have and will never have.
Can't pay for it.
And we have stuff that you cannot buy.
That's right.
And that is what is probably scaring them to death. Because you know what? If we wanted to have lobster today and we couldn't afford it tomorrow, we not going to go kill our mother. We not going to go jump off the bridge. We not going to drive our children into a freaking river of water and try to act like it was something that it was not. We are not going to go cut off anybody's head. We are not going to go eat anybody's skin, cut them up. We not going to boil people. We not going to become cannibals. We are going to go to the store, get us a freaking bag, a pound of rice, some damn potatoes, some onions, and we're going to make us a meal. And then we're going to get up and then we're going to thank God for it. And then we're going to get up tomorrow and we're going to try it again. Where they're not capable. They don't have what we have, period. They never will. The only way they can have it is to be raised by a strong black sister. That's the only way they're going to get it. Or a strong black male, the white guy. They're not going to get it unless they come in contact with us to that degree, which some of them will, because everybody is not retarded and biased. And the majority of them won't. But we will stand there at the bottom of whatever building they're getting ready to jump their dumb ass off of And we'll watch them come down, and we'll see them go splat, and we will go home and make dinner for our children. So we could go to work the next day, because that's what we have to do. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things that just cannot be bought, and they will never be in possession of those valuable tools. So, yeah, they have every reason to hate us. Why? Because we're going to be the last man standing. That's why. We are going to be the last man standing. Why? Because we have the techniques, we have the skills, we have the knowledge, we have the determination. We done had the struggles, we done had the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the this, the that. They have not had that. So I feel sorry for them. Why? Because when they're long gone, I will still be here. How about that one?
Young lady, I would like to say thank you. Sweetheart, what's your first name or whatever name you'd like to be called on the show?
Who?
Who, me?
Yes, honey. What's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine? You said Catherine?
Yeah.
Welcome, Catherine, okay? And understand, I work by a specific rule on the show. If the shoes don't fit, to fit you, and we're talking about something, then don't wear them. And clearly what we're speaking about is not you. So I'm glad you had the courage at least to stay on, because a lot of people would have logged off by now. As you can see, what we deal with, like I said, even the title of my show tonight had absolutely nothing to do with saying anything about is black people upset because white people interfere. But yet we're getting a barrage of white people calling here to degrade. Okay, calling here to echo, calling here to say names on the air that's been said in books, on the air, been said to our face, been said to us before they pulled a bullet in us, the whole nine, they're still saying it, as if it's something new. They can't even come up with a new name. Okay, all their Ivy League tuition fees, and they can't even come up with a new slur. But I can guarantee you that if we chose to go their route, we'd have a bunch of code names in a second that they'll spend years trying to figure out.
I got 100 of them right now.
And they keep coming back. You ever swat a flying fly, and you swear you got them, and then they just come around and you know, come to the other side? Well, that's the way they've been coming. Hang them up, they're back on. Hang them up, they're back on. Hang them up, there's two of them now. Hang them up, they call from the same number twice. So if you hang up on one, the other one is still on the line. So there's got to be some sort of golden something that they feel we have hidden within us that they have to sit around and stalk. They're challenging because they can't fight one black man without a mob. The police can't arrest, sustain, detain, or question a person without a mob. They immediately walk up to a black man because he happens to be taller, bigger in stature, and the whole nine, so he must be a threat. They killed a man standing in front of his house because they figured, what, he was going to sell a Lucy to, ooh.
Yeah, I've read about that.
Yeah. Okay? There's another viral video in New York City subways. A man sleeping, not a bum, not a homeless, not the panhandling, sleeping on the train. Came back in once, was sleeping on the train, and it took two cops to walk over first to wake him up and ask him what was he doing. The next thing you know, it went to eight cops standing there detaining this man. One sleeping man, eight fucking cops.
Because he nodded off the way home from work on a train.
Okay, sleeping. That was his crime, sleeping while black.
Wow.
Okay, now you let that be a white person, they'll be like, well, officer, do you have a reason to detain me?
Okay.
Why walk? There's a man that walked the streets with an open rifle. His rifle out in the open. He's busy arguing with the cops about what their textbook protocol is.
Hello. He would have been shot already.
And he walked away with his gun.
And this man videotaped the ignorance of the cops, or pretty much he videotaped the ridicule of the police officer so he could show us just how much stupider we really are in his mind. We don't walk around inviting the people we're going to kill to dinner and setting them up for the slaughter.
And my thing, too, this is Darlene, my thing, too, Katie, is that, you know, since they have, I can't even think of his name, who is so well confident that wrote these stories up and said, like, you know what, I can guarantee you that it's going to be this year, that year, and this year, making quotes and stating that, you know, we don't read, we don't do this, we don't do that, and I guarantee you, like, black people are not going to be anywhere in life because of that, and it was okay for him to say all of those things. If they are so confident that we are just never going to ever in this lifetime get it together, then why the hell we can't sit around and talk about it? If we can't do nothing else to you but talk about it, what can talking, how much harm can talking do if you are so confident that we're just never going to get it together? What is your fear now? What is your fear that we're having a conversation, we have an open line conversation where our people of color can point out their views and their concerns and this and that? That's just talking. That's just talking. So if we can just talk and make you feel threatened,
imagine if
we acted. It'll be hell to oh, wait, I'm so sorry for interfering, but I wanted to share this is so jovial. This is such good news. If you guys did read the paper today, they're actually giving us permission.
You are trying up badly, sweetheart.
They are actually giving us permission to spank our children.
Wow.
Did you read about that in the papers today?
No.
Yes, we have permission. Seriously, it is in the papers.
Wow.
That the law says that spanking is acceptable now.
Wow.
After you done let our children run amok.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now you can't handle them.
Now you can't handle them. Now you want us to beat the hell out of them.
I love this. Read the paper today, Katie. It's in there.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought I would never stop laughing. I was, well, thank you, Mr. White Man, for allowing me
to chastise a child that I raise, that I feed,
that I clothe, that you have nothing to do with.
Don't even know.
Wouldn't want to even be bothered with him when he stood before you. You would give him life in jail. Thank you for allowing me to be a mother to my child.
Wow.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's a good thing my kids are grown.
Catherine?
Yes.
What were you going to say, sweetheart?
When was it illegal to spank your child?
Oh, yes.
Well,
you've been in the dark for a while. You'll get a whole heap of government officials coming to your door and telling you that timeouts are the way to go. So if your child is charging at you with a big blatant knife, you got to restrain them and put them in the corner and say, time out, dear. That's what you have to do.
She said, time out.
Well, I'm kind of from Texas, and Texas, you know, I don't know, we believe in spanking.
Yeah, we do too.
We are not.
You know what?
Dog.
I think they realize that black people are going to buy that crap. They put a man in jail.
They say a whole lot of people in a certain part of Texas are getting up out of there.
I think it's Texas. I'm not sure, but I think it's Texas that is arresting people who are behind on their rent.
Oh, what?
A lot of black people are leaving. I forget the name of it. Oh, man, what's the name of that place? I think the name of it begins with like a T or something. It's in Texas, though.
Terrell?
I moved there, and they was talking about it on Facebook. Sure was.
Yeah, better hope that wasn't a typical article.
Yes. I'm where you are, darling.
Yeah.
Those laws do not apply here. Here we could not even, if our child called us a bitch, we could do nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
it was just funny because I remember being in Walmart and there was this black grandma that was, you know, walking her kid through the store. I guess her kid, her grandkid kept on getting loose of her. So right in the middle of Walmart, which we, even in Texas, where, you know, corporal punishment is so heard of as the norm, she, in the middle of Walmart, took off her shoe and, like, whipped him a good five or six times.
Oh, she wouldn't have been able
just
to
walked.
Do that here, honey. They would have had Grandma locked up.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yes,
and
let me tell you something, Catherine. Let me tell you something. And I think it's really a freaking shame, but that's how the system is here in New York. There's women whose children that I know personally that have went to the cops and lied on their parents
and
lost their jobs and lost every child was removed from the home and all of that based on the child just saying, oh, she hit me. There's no bruises. Your teeth are still all in place. Your eye ain't black. You ain't walking around with a stake on it or anything like that. Just by word of mouth, there are mothers who have lost their jobs and everything behind that law being passed about corporal punishment.
Yeah, I don't honestly agree with that because I don't believe, like, I'm not trying to tell you all what you want to hear, but, like, I don't agree with, like, you know, the government telling you what you can do or cannot do with your children. Like, I agree it shouldn't leave bruises or marks, but you should be able to discipline your kid how you see fit, you know?
Oh, no, they felt like the teachers were more qualified.
Oh, yes. They said that the teachers were allowed
they
to
gave
strike
the teachers
your children.
Permission. They were given the teachers permission
to
spank our children when we couldn't even spank them.
No. Let's go a little further. They were given the teachers permission to strike your children. There were specifics to this now.
Yeah.
To strike your children 7 to 10 times and leave a mark. They actually said that while they were saying parents will go to jail. Gregory Horn lost his freedom and his rights to have his daughters on the weekends as he was having them because he walked in on his 12 and 14-year-old daughter posting twerking videos to social media, and he whipped them through 3 layers of clothes with their shoes on with a cable wire, okay? And he whipped them through clothes. Now, think about the alternative. He doesn't whip them with a cable wire, and a pimp whips them with their knife and cable wires. And these pimps are coming back stronger and more viral than ever. So obviously the justice system isn't putting too much weight on sex trafficking, possibly because those same people who are supposed to make the laws are getting benefits from that very service.
Getting kicked back.
No,
if not. Wait a minute.
I was getting ready
to say, if not watching it, part of it. If
they're
not watching it.
And they're not slob just like anybody else, okay? They're probably doing that. How many cops are taking these prostitutes in and filling them up before they make it to the station house?
How many of them is going to bed with them? And if
they
don't give them the right information, then they take them in. Listen, you talking about corruption? God might have not even given me enough longevity in this life to complete the list. Okay, I would probably.
I just didn't know that was a law that you could not spank your kid.
There was a law in place. It was implemented.
And you know what, sweetheart? They probably wouldn't have put that in your media. they probably would have put it as an unspoken rule and in special customized documents for our area, because that's what they do. Do you know how many people had that same shocked reaction that you have right now?
No.
Yeah,
they saw it because at least people
just
could have
sent us a certified letter as individually to let us know.
Yeah,
that.
But I can say one thing. If I don't have kids, but if I did and I heard of a teacher, you know, spanking my kids, I'm going to tell you something. I would go up to that school. I would strike her out of being jailed because I believe that I have the right to spank my kids. You do not. You know, nobody has the right to spank you except for your mother and your father or whoever is raising you. They have the right
to do. I agree.
So you can tell me what my kids did, and I will handle it how I see fit, but you do not spank my children.
Right.
No.
Absolutely.
Well,
that was
well you
put
you in
there in New York.
Look, twins, it's down.
You couldn't
good.
Do that. I definitely
you could
said
not
that.
Live here.
Let me tell you something. A teacher and my kid, I wish a teacher would. I really do. I really, really do. You'll see me on the cover right next to Cat Williams. You will see me on the cover next to Cat Williams wearing the age-old jailhouse striped suit with the ball and chain and everything. But I would have gotten a piece on the scalp. You do not touch my children. Catherine, I want to thank you again for joining us and enduring with us. You can feel free to call back because obviously the things that we tackle does not apply to you. But you can make a difference in your backyard because that's where the change counts.
Yes.
To you, Darlene and Aline, miss you very much. Al Tariq just logged off. Thank you, thank you. Erica, I don't know how many of you I'm all going to get when I say my thank yous tonight, but if I forget any names, I'm old and senile. Y'all behave.
thank you so much for having me. Good night.
We are.
Thank you, Catherine.
Well,
thank you, Catherine.
Good
night, lady. Good night, Tammy.
Good night, lovely.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.